Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Brother Miles reached back this morning and went back to, as they call it today, old school. And got... That's all he knows, he said. But it sounded good. You all sounded like you sang like you meant it this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. This morning, God is good. And all the time, God is good. I remember reading in Mark 13 and 31 where the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. So let us thank God that we are living, that we can still hear His Word. Let us continue to be faithful and serve Him. And this morning we want to praise His name just like we always do each and every Lord's Day. So let us take a few moments and go to God in prayer. Lord, we have so much to be thankful to You for. We just sometimes don't know how to say anything but just simply thank You. Father, for there are so many things that we owe to Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love. Father, You brought us from the earliest of our existence down to this present moment. And if we needed to thank You for some things, Father, I can think of just but a few things off the top of my head. Thank You, Father, for You gave us legs to walk on. You gave us a tongue to speak. You gave us eyes to see. You gave us hands to feel. But most of all, You gave us a heart to hear and believe in that word. Thank You this morning, Father, for all those things, because some people woke up without use of those things this morning. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the church here on Stony Island. And as we continue to serve Thee in spirit and truth, we thank You for the leaders and their families. We thank You for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that all is well with us. And Father, it is well with Thee. Thank You, O Lord, for being who You are and for blessing us the way You do. This morning, Father, we want to pray for the sick, asking that You put Your magic, touch them with Your healing finger, that they may be well. We want to ask You, O Heavenly Father, that You touch those who are crying, that they may weep, that they may smile once again. We pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to bless those who have lost loved ones. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father. We pray for peace in the streets, as well as peace around the world and peace in our homes. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us the way You bless us, each and every time You bless us, and that is all the time. When I woke up this morning, Lord, I didn't know and didn't understand what day it was, but You showed me what day it was, and I got up, and we all got up and came out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for those who are in need of prayer this morning, and Father, I believe that's all of us. We thank You so very much for all You do for us, and we thank You for sending Your Son down to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that He stretched out His arms, and He's reaching out His arms now, saying, come unto Me. Thank You, Father. And Father, we pray and ask You to be with each and every member of this congregation this morning. And we pray for those who still may be on their way as well. We thank You once again for the leaders of this congregation as well as those who have taken part in the services thus far. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say, amen. From the scripture of John 14, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, if You love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Just for a little while this morning, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that all have heard of the Holy Spirit. Do we know who He is, though? How He works? What is His position in our lives? what we do or what we should know is that he is part of the Godhead, which is made up of the Father, which is God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And Jesus called him, just as I read for your hearing, the Comforter. Jesus described the Comforter in John 14 in verse number 26, where he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Let us look for a few moments at the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, as we have just seen in John chapter 14 in verse number 26, that Jesus was going to ask God to send the Comforter. But we need to see the circumstances or the reasons for the coming of the Spirit. In Luke 24 and verse number 46, Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus confirmed with the disciples that he had to face death, but that he would rise on the third day after. Sometimes I wonder why it was so, but I know that the scriptures proclaim that it had to be. It was like giving the Son of Jesus. He was like a man, but he was also the living God, the Savior who had a mission set before him. And he was preparing his disciples to face what must be according to the scriptures. John 16 and verse number 7. Look at John 16 and verse number 7, if you will. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So it was Jesus was preparing them to know that he was going to leave them. And I tell you something, it was good that he was preparing them, because many of them didn't know or didn't believe in him after they couldn't see him. So then, we can always count on Christ to tell and teach us the truth. The Holy Spirit would not come unless Christ went away, and by that he meant by dying. The word was prophesied in the long ago that the death of Christ, about the death of Christ. Now it was nearing the time of its fulfillment. In the text of John 14 in verse number 16, look what the text says. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Christ did not leave without preparing for the well-being of those who are his. Didn't he leave us in good hands, church? He left the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us. The arrival of the Holy Spirit. The arrival of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, came on the day of Pentecost to the disciples. I want you to watch this in Acts chapter 2, around verses number 2 through about verse number 5. The Bible says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, it filling all the house where they were sitting." And verse number 3 says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them." Verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and it began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or the ability, in other words. The Holy Spirit, when he came, number 1, they heard it. In verse number 2, there came a sound, so they heard the Holy Spirit. In verse number 3, they saw it. It was both audible and visible. This should left no doubt in the minds of the disciples that the promise of Jesus of the Comforter had now been fulfilled. What did the Spirit do for the disciples? But look at verse number 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, the text tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit through the Spirit they were able to speak the Word of God, that the audience could understand it in their own languages. How many different languages and people were there? Well, that's where we come in with Acts chapter 2 and verse number 5. It says, every nation under heaven, yet they all came together. I wish we could all come together. But every nation under heaven came together. Look at verse number 9. There were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. They all heard the word of God and in His wonderful works. The Spirit gave the disciples the ability to speak and to understand and for all men to understand who were in attendance. How happy would the preachers of today be if we could just reach this many people? It's good when we can reach 30 or 40 or 50 people, but if we could reach all the people, wouldn't that be wonderful, church? It would be wonderful. Won't it be wonderful when we can all come together under one banner, and that is the banner of Christ? But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance to speak that everybody there could hear in their own language. The Holy Spirit is good, God is good, and Jesus is salvation. Isn't that right, church? So now we know when the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, in other words. The work of the Spirit, this is the good part now, church. Jesus told the disciples what the Spirit would do. The Spirit is still guiding us today because He dwells in the believers. And if you don't believe it, look at John 14 and verse number 17, if you will. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. That verse makes it plain to see how personal the Holy Spirit is to believers. It is made plain to see that the world is excluded. The works of the Spirit is heard in the words of God in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is that happening today, church, or not? Oh, how many times have you heard folk talk about how wonderful their quote-unquote church is, and how they talk about Reverend so-and-so and Sister so-and-so and all of that, and yet they fail to see what the Bible says about that. But I tell you something, the Holy Spirit is good, church. God is good, and Jesus is wonderful in our salvation. That's happening today, and some have been lied to about, even about who they can marry. Oh yes, I'm going to touch on it right now. They have been lied to about who they can marry and told that the will of God does not mean what it used to mean. The Word has an answer for that in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, I tell you something, church. The Bible is never wrong. Some of us think that we're never wrong. But when we think that we're never wrong, we're already wrong. I may not be right, but I'm never wrong, is the attitude of some. But thank God that He has left us to know His Word and has given us His Word that we may draw upon it. The Holy Spirit makes intercession on our behalf according to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. When we know not what we should be praying for, the Spirit intercedes for us to God. The same Holy Spirit is given to those who obey and are baptized according to Acts 2 and 38. Where Peter spoke these words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. There you go. The Holy Spirit, but you must go down in this watery grave of baptism in order to receive the Holy Spirit. And them folks jumping up and down say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. If they haven't went down for the remission of their sin, if they haven't believed on Jesus Christ, they won't get it. In order to receive this Holy Spirit, one must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a gift, not simply a free-for-all. It is for those who are baptized into Jesus Christ. When you become a baptized believer, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Then you can share in the fruit of the Spirit. And you know the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. This morning, we should all be thankful to God for sending us the Holy Spirit. You know, without God sending it to us, just think of that, that if Jesus had not died, He wouldn't have sent the Comforter. He wouldn't have been able to send the Comforter. Because He said, look at the text once again in verse number 16. He said in John 14 and 16, He said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. So how long will the Holy Spirit be with us? He will be with us forever. For what Jesus told the disciples, it's word, it's for our learning and our understanding, because we receive the doctrine of the Holy Spirit yet today. But God is a living God, and He's capable of doing for us whenever we call upon His name. When only the best will do, we need to call on God. For there is no generic God. No God able to do what God can do. There is no bargain basement God. How many of you remember the store of Gold Blacks and Weebolts? They used to have what was called a bargain basement. And in the bargain basement, you could find some things that were less expensive than things up on the upper floors. The bargain basement. But you have to watch out in the bargain basement, because sometimes the materials down there would have rotten and began to get holes in it. So if you're looking for a bargain basement God, there is no bargain basement God. You have to serve God in spirit and in truth. God, Jesus continues to do what He did for the disciples, and He continues to do it for us today. The Comforter is waiting for all, but we must be baptized into Christ to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How, somebody may say, preacher, do I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, you have to hear the Word of God according to Romans 10 and verse number 17. You have to believe in Jesus Christ according to Mark 16 and 16. You have to repent of your sins according to Luke 13 and 3, and confess Christ according to Matthew 10 and verse 32, and then be buried with Him in water for the remission of sins in Matthew 16 and verse number 16. This is the call upon all of you today. If you haven't been a baptized believer, if you haven't been to the water, you need to go to the water. If you've been to the water, but you've fallen short of living the life that you should be living, you need to ask the church to ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray for you, and continue to live a righteous and a sober life. I tell you something, church. There is nothing like serving the true and just God. Now, I know something about that on my own. I know that I couldn't have gotten up this morning had it not been for the Lord. I know that my belly wouldn't have been as full as it is if it hadn't been for the living God. Because we studied in Bible class this morning that the rain and the moisture from heaven, the rain and the snow from heaven gives moisture to the ground, and a moist ground gives us seed to plant other seeds and to grow food, and it gives us water to drink. Oh, and I know what some of you say, I can go buy me a bottle of water in the store. But where do you think that water came from? They don't have no magic formula for creating water. It's all given to us from heaven. And when it rains, I know what we'd like to say, I sure do wish it would quit raining. But without the rain, where would we be for food? Where would we be for water? I thank God this morning for the Holy Spirit. You ought to be thanking Him for the Holy Spirit too, because He is our comforter. And don't let nobody tell you the Holy Spirit they want to put gender in there. They want to say it's a she. No, sir, no, ma'am. The Holy Spirit is He, just like the other two parts of the Godhead. So remember that without the Holy Spirit, we would not have a comforter today. So I ask you this morning, are you letting the Holy Spirit work in you? Are you letting Jesus work with you? If not, you need to come to God. And if you've already been there, you need to come back if you've walked away. Just as I told you a few minutes ago, all you got to do is come back to God. Do you remember, and I always use as an example, the prodigal son. Because he left. But the good part is what? He came back. He came back to his father's house. If you're not in your father's house this morning, you can come and be and enter into it, or you can come back to it. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
What can wash away my